Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening, Jimmy Jam, Jay Cross.
Hello, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going good. Going good. Well,
yeah,
saying
I mean,
that...
You really sound convinced with yourself.
I'm feeling very ill.
Right.
And so, apologies first off. We should start the episode by saying this might be a slightly shorter episode.
This is such a great start to a... I really hope, like... this is the first one that someone's listening to and they're like, what on earth is going on?
So it's normally more party vibes than this. It's normally more Andrew WK, upbeat podcast jams. But
right now we're feeling a little blonde on blonde.
So Matt was supposed to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
He's been waylaid. Joe Bratton, I think, might actually be dead.
What did you... I didn't understand the text message you sent.
So he sent me a text... he sent me a text message saying he... played a gig at the weekend on a hay bale.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really...
was that the weddings cover?
I think
thing?
It was... he was, wasn't he like learning like 400 wedding songs in a day?
I think he... yeah, I think he had to learn 40 songs in a day or
okay.
something.
But then why is he not here tonight?
I don't know. I didn't understand.
He's getting slack.
Yeah.
He's been off for 3 weeks?
Is it?
Joe Branton. So, yeah, so apologies. We never know. Like, last week we said we'd probably do a shorter one and we ended up doing one of the longest podcasts that we've done.
Yeah.
Certainly as the Guitar Nerds. And, yeah, so you never know. You never know how it's going to go. But I suspect my voice is probably going to give out at maybe, like, the half-hour mark. So we'll see how
we're doing. I guess the problem is that occasionally someone else can talk, but if there's no you, then it's just me.
No one wants that.
Nobody wants that.
No one wants that.
No.
What's been going on anyway?
I've got a week off this week.
Yeah.
I feel bad for you not feeling very well, I feel great.
Good.
I've had a really nice couple of days off. My girlfriend moved in. It's been really chill. I put on a gig last night, saw a few really good bands.
It was a good gig. I actually went.
You
out
went. You
went
were there.
Out the house for once to a gig, and it was. It was pretty sweet.
Bought me a beer.
I did buy you a beer. That is a very rare occurrence.
It really is. Yeah.
So lots of PV on display.
Yeah. So the bass player of this band Bangers, who were the headline band, is like loves 80s PV gear.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's got. I don't know what is that bass.
It's a PVT-40, I think it's called.
Okay.
There was a guitar and a bass. I can't remember which way around it is, but I think it's called the T-40 bass. Two big humbuckers, big like... I can't remember. The one he had last night, was it a black one?
Yeah.
It was. So there's like a natural one as well. And they're they're like really heavy ash bodies.
Right.
Massive humbuckers on there, bolt on neck. They kind of almost look like a Early Ball Music Man.
Yeah.
Like Stingray. But they're just like a sort of coffee table. They look like they're carved out of a coffee table.
Yeah.
And yeah, they sound beastly.
Yeah, that into one of those big PV
Mark IV, I think, was what you
right.
had.
Right. Yeah.
And then a 810.
Yeah.
It sounded huge.
It sounded really good. It sounded very, very good. The support band were a full Fender band, which I always quite like to see.
Wait, yeah, two tellies and then a
P bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, not full Fender because
the amps.
Yeah. But
it's punk. You got to expect a like JCM 800 or JCM 2000 in there somewhere.
I can't remember what it is. I don't think it's either of those, but it's
I saw a couple of there was at least one 800 there yesterday.
Right, okay.
So yeah.
But yeah, great. It was I'm a little bit tired now though.
Thanks.
That's maybe. What I've been out in the sun all day. It's been
it must be awful.
Yeah. but yeah, no, really, really, really good time. Like punk music, it's wicked.
I really enjoyed it last night. Like I said, I've not been out for a little while, and yeah, it's good just seeing like a blast of like three punk bands.
Yeah, I mean, that said, you say I've not been out for a while. You and me went out last Wednesday, and we saw a very different band.
What did we see?
We went to Mark and I went to our sort of like our
oh yeah
our
we se- did
our sort of like secret. Interest is it's not really a secret.
It's not a secret.
We're both quite big nerds, and so we went to like a video game night at the same bar that this gig was at last night.
Yeah.
And instead of there, like last night, there was loads of punks drinking quite expensive beers.
Yes.
Hanging around talking. We went there last Wednesday, and there was loads of people hanging around. They brought their own consoles. They brought their own flat screen TVs, and they were just opening it up for anyone to.
Street Fighter tournament.
There was a Street Fighter tournament.
I did not dare to enter.
No.
And
no.
We played a game where you hit baseballs at each other.
Yeah.
And then there was like Street Fighter but baseball bats.
And we played Rocket League, which is a
secret best game of the year.
Yeah. It's kind of a mixture between like FIFA and Colin McRae.
Yeah, okay. That's not
no,
hard to
it's more it. Like what was that game for the PlayStation? Twisted Metal?
Yeah, it's like Twisted Metal but it's football.
Yeah. So that was really fun. And then downstairs, there was a... I'm not really sure about this, but we went downstairs and we watched the band, and there was a band that was just doing, like, Nintendo 64 theme tune covers. It wasn't just them.
No, it was all, like, video games. So it was, like, a load of Final Fantasy stuff and things like that. It was cool.
It was very cool.
Really actually, cool to watch
about. They were really good. I mean, obviously, two keyboards, one of which was a...
One, the old keytar.
One was a keytar. I'm not... Sure, I've seen anyone play a keytar live in probably 10 years.
I think if you watch more of that stuff, like video game, like...
Yeah, but I just mean...
Like chiptune stuff.
Right.
Then you'll see...
I just sort of mean like...
People playing
IRL.
Keytars. I'm trying to think... When
Poly 6?
No, a keytar.
Not a keytar?
No. I'm trying to think when I went to see Anna Managuchi, whether they had... I don't think they did... They do a similar thing. They're like a chiptune band. I think they just had all of the keyboards on a laptop.
Right,
like
okay.
All of the synth stuff on a laptop, and then they just play power chords over the top.
Right, okay.
They're a pretty weird band. Bright pink bright pink RGs, and then towards the end of the set, they just took a bit of their lighting rig off the lighting rig and just passed it around in the audience. It's amazing. It's really, really good. But yeah, what was the band called? ABXY.
ABXY, they were called. Yeah, they were great. Two keyboards, one guitarist who was... guitarist who was playing like a really, really high gain, but like very heavily compressed. Again, I think it was a JCM 900 or JCM 2000.
Something like that, yeah, with an Ibanez. Yeah, like a low-end RG. And it actually sounded really good.
It sounded great, yeah. It sounded great. And then there was, I think, when they were doing Zelda, he pulled out his acoustic, he swung his electric guitar around behind his back.
I didn't even notice him doing it, and I looked back and he'd like...
He swung his electric around behind his back and just picked out the acoustic and and rocked out on the acoustic. And one of the best bass players I've seen in ages.
She was really good. She was really, really good.
Just so solid. Just kept it going the whole way.
Loads of that stuff is about like octaves.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I wonder whether that's like the chipset for, you know, NES and stuff like that. I wonder whether it was just easier to just like bounce up an octave. Like all the bass lines are like ding 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 ding.
Yeah. 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 And so, the drummer was wicked in that band as well. Like, because yeah, he was doing the pads as well. Yeah, had SBDSX.
Octopad or whatever it is.
Is it Octopad or is it an SBDSX?
I think it's the same thing.
Oh, is it the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. But that was really cool.
Yeah.
One of them had just a sound that was just, listen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're definitely worth checking out. I found them on Facebook, but I can't remember what the Facebook thing is. Just search ABXY.
Yeah, ABXY.
If you're
really
into that
good
sort of thing. I mean, it's not like classic rock or anything or the punk stuff that we normally talk about, but they were really, really cool.
Yeah, it was very, very cool.
One other thing, actually, that happened yesterday, and this is going to sound like it doesn't belong on this podcast at all, and in fact, some of you definitely won't enjoy this. New Miley Cyrus album.
Yeah.
Was released in secret for free on SoundCloud.
You told me about this.
It's got some amazing guitar sounds on it, and I'm pretty sure loads of the guitar is done on a Boss Terra Echo.
Oh, really?
You know that, like, when the Terra Echo kind of, like, glitches out and does that, like, waterfall type sound? That.
Yeah.
There's that all over that record. And loads of, like, really cool, like, surfy guitar sounds, like, really lush reverbs and stuff.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably not going to appeal to 95% of the people listening to this podcast, but
produced by Flaming Lips, did you say?
Yeah, most of it's produced by Wayne Coyne from the Flaming Lips, yeah.
Right, well, yeah. Okay.
And yeah, loads of the guitar work's really, really good. I wouldn't recommend listening to the whole album because it's like 2 hours long, but yeah, there's some really, really cool, like, weird stuff, particularly if you're into, like, weird pedals and stuff. Yeah, give it. Maybe not the first track, because that's weird, but give it a bit of time and listen to a few of the tracks. It's actually pretty cool.
It's just on SoundCloud?
Yeah, for free.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
really. I mean, put it up on Spotify, just get like 5p for every 1,000 listens.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
Very weird. Anything else been going on?
Anything else been going on? I don't think so. No, don't think so. I think that's up to speed.
Not sold any gear, bought any gear?
Not this week.
Okay.
No, I am thinking with my week off, I might have a bit of a rejig. I might go through my box of pedals and consider whether I have a look through and see what's in there that I've sort of forgotten about. And either
see if you can
give
it back in.
Yeah, give a new lease of life or get rid, get something else.
Maybe you also need to like do a little list of things that you think you own and where they might be.
Well, I was talking about that today, actually. Talking about that, like, one of the fellas who plays in this band who was with us last night, he was like, anytime I listen to your podcast, all you ever do is say, but you might as well just get the Mojo Mojo. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. Where is my Mojo Mojo? And it's either with one of the fellas in one of the other bands that someone in one of those bands plays in, and I don't remember which one's got it.
Okay. Why don't you just ask people?
Yeah, I should just get that stuff back, because it's... Anyway.
Yeah. Should we dive in some news?
News.
There we go. It's almost like Joe's actually here.
Yeah.
Very good.
I don't... Yeah.
I've not seen him for ages.
I saw him last week. Yeah. He's still
ridiculous.
He's still going.
Good. So a big bit of news this week actually was something that he'd probably be interested in.
Yeah.
Brand new signature model from Music Man, from Ernie Ball. The St. Vincent signature. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
It's really weird. I'm really, really into it. It's, by the looks of things, a one-piece rosewood neck.
Yep.
And board. Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what it... It kind of looks like a Gibson RD.
Yeah, a bit. Or like a Explorer, but with the horns kind of like...
Cut off.
Cut off a bit and rounded down. It kind of looks like a sort of like 60s pawn shop guitar as well.
Yeah.
It's got like weird pickups in there. Yeah, I saw some kind of early rumblings about this. Because the first photo I saw of it was still this week, but it was listed as like a prototype.
All right.
And people were like, oh, you know, I hope they change it for the real one because this looks weird. But it's just the same guitar that's come out. So, yeah, completely unexpected. Like, she's been playing the Albert Lee models for a while.
Oh, has she?
Yeah, which is why...
Right, okay, why she got a signature.
Why,
okay,
it looks
cool.
A bit like that. So yeah. What's the spec? What are the pickups?
It just says mini humbuckers. So there's okay. three mini humbuckers. I assume it looks like a five-way switch. I can't see. Mm-hmm. I think it's a five-way switch. So I wonder if that... I guess it just selects two of the humbuckers, or maybe it will select the inside coils.
Could it? There's no, like...
It doesn't say.
No, like, push-pull switch or anything
no,
like that.
No.
Okay.
So, yeah. The thing that really strikes me about it, though, is the gunstock oil on the neck.
Okay.
So, do you know anything about this gunstock oil?
Not at all.
So, gunstock oil appears to be, like, the new sort of...
Snake
old
oil.
Fashion. Yes. Yeah. I think it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, it's actually not a new technique in the slightest, but it's coming sort of back into the mainstream.
Okay.
Of people using gunstock oil on the back of their matte finished necks.
Okay.
I think Joe had it done on his 50s P bass when he had it refinished.
So it was the idea to basically take away a bit of kind of heavy lacquer.
Yeah, but and you put this sort of matte, smooth finish on it. And okay. I've played a couple of guitars now that have got this gunstock oil on, and it is lovely.
Okay.
It's really, really cool, to the point where I think I might get it done on my American Special Telly.
I guess difficult to do on a guitar that's got a painted neck. Like, I was just thinking about my Junior.
Yes. It would just need to be worn down, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm not really up for that.
No. I think it's that. You know, once it's done.
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
You want to do it on something that's like matte finish already, basically.
Yeah. So like a Fender neck.
Yeah.
Would be no problem whatsoever. But yeah, this looks really, really cool. I mean, I don't really know a huge amount about St. Vincent. I saw a performance. Is it? Her or
yeah.
is it them?
Yeah, it's her.
So she's called St. Vincent.
Yes.
Okay, right. I saw her play with, I guess, her band on one of those American talk shows, like Letterman or something.
Yes, I think I know the performance. It is Letterman.
And she was amazing. Like, it was really cool. She just sort of stood there playing, I guess, the Albert Lee, I can't remember what guitar it was, with a Madonna headset mic.
Okay, Britney mic.
Britney mic, whatever. You know, a headset mic. And the bass player was just stood behind her, just like, you know, really solid, knocking at nothing fancy. She was playing something really like twiddly, but quite precise down at the bottom.
Okay.
Up at the top. And then, like, halfway through the bar, they started doing like a synchronized sort of dance routine, but while still playing.
Okay.
And it looked really...
sort of like status quo.
I mean, the thing is like, yeah, but it looked really like what they were doing was really staccato, like in terms of their dance moves. And
okay.
So it was really like, it was really disconcerting, but it looked cool. They were great.
They're doing like the robot, basically.
Kind of, yeah. And it was... She sort of never breaks eye contact from the camera, and it's great performance artist. Like, that's the only song that I've heard, and I was into it. But
talking about the boss effects, or what I think are boss effects on the new Miley album, St. Vincent has been known for using like I can't remember what the model's called now. One of the most recent synth pedals by Boss,
the GP10.
GP10, that's the one. She was kind of like the first person who they did like videos with and stuff.
Oh, right, okay, cool.
So, because obviously her stuff is kind of textured.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense, really, like blending the authentic guitar sound in with some other stuff. The video work that she's done with that is really cool.
Cool.
Music Man kind of suits, really, because they've got... you know, we've seen that they can do like retro styling, and they can also do weird stuff. And I guess that kind of fits with her aesthetic, really.
Yeah, yeah, sort of a futuristic... she kind of looks like... I feel like she kind of, her vibe is like, if you lived in Minority Report and watched a documentary on the 50s,
okay,
they would, someone like St. Vincent would be on the television screen.
Surely there'd be no guitars in Minority Report. It'd be all about the moving the hand things.
That's what I'm saying. Like a documentary on.
Oh,
like,
she'd be like retro.
She'd be like, right. She'd be watching like, she's like a reimagination of like the 50s or the 60s.
Okay. Yeah, like so a, that's kind like of what a, that guitar is, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like very
yeah,
much taking like an Explorer, like super futuristic in the 50s, and put a little spin on it.
You know what it looks like? It looks like something from the Jetsons.
It does. Yeah, very much so. And I saw that come up a few times.
Oh, really?
On okay, forums, people are like, oh, it's the Jetson signature. It's cool. One other bit of news this week, the Karl Martin Andy Timmons Signature Compressor Limiter. You've got a big amount of love for Karl Martin, haven't you?
I think Karl Martin are a really good company. A really good company. I think they've done some very, very solid stuff. And, I mean, they are... I know that you lot think I'm really sad for getting, like, really liking, like, accessories and stuff. But, like, I really like the Karl Martin Power Jack.
Okay.
Which is the like... daisy chain power supply that they do.
That was one of the first decent ones, wasn't it? Because it,
yeah,
like, came slightly
so,
before the one spot.
Yes, yeah. And I just think it's a really, really cool unit. And like, I had one of the hot drive and boosts for a while.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Which I thought was an incredible pedal, but it was hardwired, which just did my head in.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem with a bunch of their pedals is... They're hardwired. You plug them straight into the wall.
It's so kind of antithetical to what most people want these days.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that sort of, I don't know, kept them from being like a more of a household name, I guess. I don't know. Because like their drive pedals are great. I mean, that Plexi drive, which as it happens was a very, you know, it was more like a Boss sort of compact style.
Yeah. It's it kind of shows, doesn't it, that as soon as they move away from their kind of signature big black box, hardwired, not particularly pleasing to the eye, they actually can sell quite a lot of pedals. Like that small size Plexi drive is a really good little pedal.
Yeah. And I think it's just, you know, they just need to sort of take a step back and be like, okay, cool, let's do something else. Because, I mean, I think their drives are some of the best on the market.
Yeah.
But, you know... I don't know. It's just one of those things. I really like the it's the Delayla, I think, is their delay pedal.
Yes,
as well, isn't
it is.
That's a really cool pedal. But yeah, Karl Martin do some great stuff. I've not heard this compressor.
I was going to say, have we got any info on it?
No, I'll be honest with you, I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
I mean, I like Andy Timmons' Ibanez.
he's a top dude.
You met him at NAMM, didn't you?
I did. He was really, really cool. He talked about like getting a signature model from them or getting a guitar made for him by Ibanez and kind of resisting getting a signature model for years.
Yeah.
Because he was like, no, I want them to be as good as the one that you've made me. And they said, well, that'd be expensive. And kind of over the years, they've basically found ways of making the guitar as good as the kind of custom built one that he'd got for not a huge amount of money. And even now there's a cheap one, isn't there? There's the AT100.
Yeah. So is it a Prestige standard one? I guess it is, isn't it?
Yes.
So that's the AT10,
yes.
I think.
AT10P, I think it's called.
Okay, cool. And that's... they do that in sunburst with the maple neck or Olympic white, I think, or Arctic white. Or I don't know.
Looks like a gem type vibe.
Yeah, yeah, with a rosewood board. And then they do the cheaper one. And that's the one that I think he was like, no, I want that to be as good as my one. And yes. They're like, well, that doesn't work because it needs to be like 500 quid. That car went really fast.
That went really fast, plus.
It needs to be like cheap. And he's like, well, don't do it then.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite cool. I think, you know, knowing your sort of market in that instance is very cool. Like, I can't remember the fella's name, but one of the fellas from Bring Me the Horizon, Lee Marlier.
Yeah, Epiphone signature.
Yeah, well, I think he was offered a Gibson Les Paul signature.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, thanks very much, but like from what I understand, he was like, you know, most of the people who listen to our band are younger and won't be able to afford this, and I want to make something that they can afford.
Yeah.
So he made it an Epiphone, and that was a really, really cool guitar, and like a very interesting, a very, very interesting Les Paul. I think it's got a diamond neck humbucker.
Yeah, it's got like a weird...
Or single coil. I think that's what it's...
No, it's P90 in the neck, and in fact, I don't think they're like... I think they're Epiphone branded. They just look quite weird.
Right, okay.
So they're like open coil, but they sit in like a open pickup surround.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like a Diamond pickup. But yeah, it's P90 in the neck and humbucker in the bridge.
Yeah.
It's kind of the classic combo, really. Like, I think if I was building a Les Paul, like a more standard Les Paul than the juniors, I'd probably go humbucker in the bridge and P90 in the neck.
Would you?
Well, you get like nice clean tones and you get real sweet single coil sounds out of the neck pickup.
Yeah.
And then you've got typical Les Paul humbucker back pickup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just don't really like humbuckers in the neck.
No.
You can get that kind of really thick sound if you wind the tone off, I guess. Get that kind of Santana lead type tone. But for the sort of stuff that I do, that's kind of not really applicable. I want a nice mix of nice P90 clean and some chunk in the bridge, definitely. Should we move on to some questions?
Yeah, do it.
All questions this week sent into our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Head over there, you can speak to other guitar nerds and you might even get your question read out on this here podcast. Yeah, let's do a few. My voice, as you can hear, is waning, but nevertheless we press on. Will says, after searching for the way I want my bass to sound for years, I found out the other day that it was as simple as sticking some foam under the strings. Have you guys got any simple but awesome tricks that you'd like to share? Can you think of an awesome trick?
Can I think of an awesome trick?
Do you know what my awesome trick would be? Slightly heavier strings.
Is that an awesome trick?
Yeah. Because a lot of people, if they were going into a guitar shop and they say, I need some strings for my Les Paul, the person would pretty much automatically say, get 10s. And 10s are fine on a Les Paul, but put 11s on it, you'll
sounds
get
better.
Very different character.
I mean, I always, with a sort of certain amount of disclaimer, tend to recommend going for the heaviest strings you feel like you can handle.
Yes.
I think... They just sound better. If there's more metal there, if there's more for the pickup to pick up, then it will sound better. That's sort of in general. I think certainly for like rock or metal or punk, I feel that's certainly the case.
Particularly if you're down tuning as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's. That's you can't really play with lighter strings if you're down tuning. I just don't think it works.
You get that kind of fieldy effect. Very clicky.
Yeah.
Very bendy. Anything else? Any other awesome tricks?
Awesome tricks. So I didn't read these questions in advance. Sorry, you've put me somewhat on the spot. What's an awesome trick?
Okay, so another one that I would always recommend is if you've got if you want a good driven sound, but you've got amp that's two channel, but you can push the clean channel, like if you've got a gain and a master on the clean channel, just use the clean channel and just bring the gain all the way up. It, I would say for 95% of amps, that's how you get your best sound.
So, it's, like, invert the...
So, basically, keep the master... Well, use the master to suit, like, keep it pretty low if you want it a sensible volume, but ramp the gain all the way up on the clean channel.
Right, okay.
You just get better results because you're not... You're pushing the channel harder and you just get a chunkier sound out of it.
Yeah.
Classic Marshall tip. I'll tell you what is another Marshall tip, and this was Noel Gallagher swore by this for years, is literally... So if you've got, like, for example, a JCM 2000, use a clean channel, turn the gain all the way up, volume to suit, and then literally just turn all the EQ up.
To 10.
To everything to 10, yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, that's the kind of, like, famous Oasis
track. Yeah, I knew that, actually. Oasis, I don't know why I knew that, but, yeah, I knew that he just had everything on. Yeah, just have it all on.
Yeah.
Why do you want to take anything away?
Another little tip for an instant thick guitar sound. Compressor, slapback delay, but tiny, tiny amount of slapback delay, really, like, really quick after your original signal, will instantly thicken up your guitar sound.
Yeah.
So you can't hear the delay, basically. You won't hear the, like that, you won't hear the tap.
Yeah.
But it's just behind it, and you get, like, an almost chorus effect, but it's not quite so obvious.
Yeah, and also chorus just gives you a little more, like...
Shimmer.
Yeah, which isn't always what you want.
No. Chris says, what's everyone's opinion on the Roland JC40? How portable is it? Think I might get one and gig it alongside my 74X. So I've got one dirty amp and one clean amp.
I bet that will sound absolutely banging.
Have we seen the JC40s yet?
No, not yet. So from what I understand, it is the 40... This... year, I think it's this year. Matty is the person who to ask, but I think it's this year is or was the 40th anniversary of the JC120.
I believe that's why they're doing a 40
watt, which is why they've done a 40 watt. So I would presume we will see them before the end of the year, but
let's hope so, otherwise that doesn't really work, does
well, absolutely
it?
yeah. But no, not seen them yet, but having played a bunch of JC amps, I can't see how this is going to be anything other than absolutely brilliant. Apparently they've because the gain channel or like the drive on these on that the old jazz choruses was so pony. Everyone just like don't use it. Just forget it's there. Don't worry about it. But they've redesigned it on the JC40, and they say that it's good. I asked if it was just a DS1 that they put in there, but it's not. It is actually a specifically designed drive sound for the specifically designed speaker that they've put in there, and apparently it does sound very, very good. Now granted, I'm going off of the opinion of people who work for Roland,
who are the only people who have heard it,
I've got no reason to doubt them. I think it will be a very cool amp, and I'm really excited. I think it's a little bit odd that they've released this directly after releasing the Blues Cubes.
Yeah, because I thought the Blues Cubes were supposed to be the next.
Well, so did I.
The next evolution.
But what I do think is quite cool is it's Roland kind of looking back,
which is something that they historically have not really done.
Yeah. And I think that's very cool. I'm glad that they're sort of, because they've got such an illustrious and, you know,
it's a rich history.
Such an important history of in everything that we do. I think that what they've, you know, they've got every right to sort of go, hang on a sec. All these chumps who are copying our pedals and charging twice as much as we do and people are buying it. We can do this. Let's take a step back and do our own thing. And I think that's really cool. And I really hope that it pushes us into pushes us into an era where we do start sort of celebrating. Because I think if they were to go back over some of their older stuff that perhaps they've mistakenly discontinued or discontinued. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that people are back into, like that, Which one's the black metal distortion pedal?
Oh,
the metal core? No, the heavy metal. The HM2. If they you know, did an HM2X, people would go bananas for that pedal.
I'm not sure about that.
I think they would.
A very specific audience might pick one up. Plus, maybe. Also, those pedals are, you can get them very cheap secondhand.
I suppose, yeah.
It's not like something like, you know, the analog delay.
Yeah, But, you know.
We did have a bit of debate on the forum this week about the Dimension C, which is one of their push-button choruses, and whether that should maybe come back into the product lineup.
Is that the one that you didn't have any controls?
No,
it was just,
knobs.
It was just on or off?
There's some, like, you've got four sliders.
Oh, okay.
They're
right.
Like four on-off switches on the pedal where you'd expect the knobs to be on a Boss pedal. I've never heard one in the flesh. I've never seen one in the flesh, sorry. I've heard demos and stuff. But,
okay.
Be interesting to see something like that come back, like a Boss pedal, but something that's really different and more in line with the vintage stuff. Obviously, things like the DD500 are very different to what they've done in the past.
Yes.
Have we seen those yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
This very all got exciting. Announced at the same time, didn't it?
So. Yes, they did, yeah. So I assume they'll all be dropping, you know, relatively soon. But, you know, very excited for that. I think that's... obviously still they're going to be the big flagship for this year, but yeah, I'm really excited for the Jazz Chorus, and I think it will work really well alongside a 1974X. I think that would be, you know, that absolutely perfect for when you want to play the intro to Enter Sandman.
The only thing that those amps are good for.
That's not true.
That not at all. let's do one more question, because I can feel that my voice is going. Let's do, which one should we do? Let's do one from Tristan, who says, can someone recommend a cheapish wah good enough for metal, low, grunty stuff? So no Santana type ones, if they make wah specific to genres, as I have no clue. So a wah for metal.
I sort of struggle with this sort of thing, because I always go back to the Crybaby.
Yep.
I think that, you know, if what you want is, you know, if what you want is a Dimebag Darrell sound, what wah was Dimebag Darrell using?
Wasn't there a signature Dimebag Darrell?
What was he using before he got his signature?
It was Crybaby.
It was Crybaby. Yeah. You know, if what you want is a Slash sound, before there was a Slash wah, what wah was he using? He was using Crybaby.
Yeah.
You know, and it's... I understand why there are those other wahs out there. I think that the Slash wah is quite good because it's 18 volt and, you know, you've got a bit more headroom, and is there a drive circuit built in, or is that just the Zach wah? I think the Zach wah has got a drive circuit built in.
Something like that. They've all got... This is why I always come back to the standard Crybaby.
Yeah.
It's because all the other ones have got stuff on them.
I don't really need
the stuff.
No, I don't want any stuff. I just want the wah.
Yeah.
And I don't think there are any that are voiced. I don't think you get voicings of...
The only one that I think I've ever heard that's been significantly better is when they did that Hendrix Blacktop wah, which I think even might still be available.
I think so, yeah.
I think that is a better sounding wah overall than a standard Crybaby, but it's about double the price.
Yeah.
I would suggest that for most people, a regular Crybaby is exactly what they're looking for.
Yes.
And everything else is for... If you're a huge Dimebag Darrell fan, get the Dimebag Darrell wah, maybe. If you're a huge Zach Wilde fan, you want all his pedals, then get that wah.
Yeah.
If you just want a really good wah pedal that will do loads of stuff, last you for probably 40 years...
Yeah.
You can get a standard Crybaby.
You can actually... The only thing inside that can break... Because all the wah pedal is a tone... circuit,
yeah,
a tone knob, and you can actually buy Jim Dunlop sell the Crybaby, like
they,
replacement.
They do the
string
hot pots,
kit, the hot pots, yeah, the string kit,
yeah.
That I mean, if it stops working, you just sit on it,
yeah, yeah. All the parts are replaceable, pretty much.
Yeah,
the rubber feet, I believe, you can buy. It's all in there. So regular Crybaby for most stuff, and for metal will be totally fine. Let's get out of here. I'm dying.
Yeah.
Just want to thank our Patreon backers. Do you want to do some music?
Yeah. I tell you what, I listened to Black and White by Michael Jackson this week.
Fine.
I really like the intro.
Okay.
You know the bit where he then goes, "Hey, turn it off."
Oh yeah. It's isn't it Thingy from Roseanne?
Who?
Doing the
dad.
The dad in the video, and then it's Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, it's Macaulay Culkin going, but this is the best part.
That amazing. Your impression's really good.
Da-na-na-na-na-na.
Anyway, da-na-na-na-na-na. Thanks very much to Dale Rasko, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Chris Wilson, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Tomsett, Moog Gravett, and Colin Anderson. Thanks so much for supporting us.
Hey, what?
On patreon.com/guitar nerds, from as little as $5 a month, you can get extra half an hour of this nonsense every week. Hopefully we'll be able to do half an hour this week, but we'll see what happens. You might have to forgive us if we run a bit short. Thanks everyone for listening this week. If you want to follow us at Guitar Nerds on Twitter, you can head over to the site guitarnerds.net, youtube.com/guitarnerdsvideos. You can follow me on Twitter at @mark_random. You can follow Jay at @jbay. No.
Excellent.
@jaybny1.
That's the one.
You can follow me at the hospital in penicillin paracetamol ward 1 sleepy bedtime.
Cool.
I'm ill.
Bye.
We'll see you next week with a full crew. We'll do a bumper episode.
Lovely.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers then. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.